Okay, good morning, everybody. ויהי בשלח פרעה את העם, ולא נחם אלוקים דרך ארץ פלישתים, כי קרוב הוא. And when Pharaoh sent Am Israel, God decided to bring them in a longer way and not through the land of Palestine because it was too close. So first of all, sorry to tell you, we all know that not Pharaoh sent Am Israel, but God. He didn't do anything about it. He was forced to send Am Israel. So why is it written, Vayhi b'shalach paro? And then also, why don't you take them in the short way? Why to take them in the long way? And there was a big lesson here. And the lesson is that sometimes we think that we do things. We do nothing. Everything is from God. And Pharaoh, with all what he was going through, he had a thought that he had something to do with it. Got nothing to do with it. Now, what's the problem here? The problem here is that the minute that we think that we are in control, we start to get strange ideas into our mind. And why did God take them to the long way? Because Am Israel had a big problem. As we see, we talked about last week, if we think for a minute that all those who went out of Egypt were tzaddikim, they were not. Only 20% got out of Egypt, and they also were not all tzaddikim, as we see in our parsha. Every minute, another complaint. And all the time, they want to go back to Egypt. Like Egypt was this unbelievable thing. So first of all, we have to understand why do they want to go to Egypt back all every time? Because, you know, Egypt is not exactly what did they have there? B'yoshveinu al sira basar, they said. That we sit on the pot of meat. Meat. What? My grandmother, my oma, used to say, makkes un fowler fish. That's what they got there. You know what makkes un fowler fish is? Makkes is makot. Makot. And fowler fish is rotten fish. That's what they got there. So what's going on here? Very interesting thing. On Shabbos I was in Petach Tikva, and the chief rabbi of Petach Tikva, he gave us a short drasha. And he said something very interesting. He said, we say Yetziat Mitzrayim. How do you translate Yetziat Mitzrayim to English? When I want to say Yetziat Mitzrayim, what would you say? Yetziat Mitzrayim, how would you say it?
Going out of Egypt. Leaving Egypt. Close to Egypt.
Whatever you want to try to do, I want you to translate it literally, word by word. Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Going out of Egypt.
Yetziat Mitzrayim should be Yetziat Mimitzrayim.
Ah.
It's very interesting. Nobody noticed it.
Yes.
When you say Yetziat Mitzrayim, it says going out of Egypt. If I want to say going out of Egypt, it's Yetziat Mimitzrayim. Ah. I have to add another mem. That I'm going out. If I say Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's Egypt going out.
Yes. And Egypt going out of us.
Yes.
And that's a very interesting point. Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's not we going out of Egypt. It's to take Egypt out of us. And how true it is. It's like when we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. So we have, and it's very interesting that we all the time, we don't say Yetziat Mitzrayim. We don't say going out of Egypt. Going out Egypt. Or Egypt going out. In other words, the idea here is that we have to understand that Egypt is inside of us. This Pharaoh is inside of us. And we think we have something to do in this world. Vayi b'shalach paro. And this is also the reason it took them away from temptation. Because one of our great problems is to have the conflict right in front of us. To deal with Yetzer Hara, to deal with a problem, sometimes the best way of dealing with it is getting away from it. Putting it on the side, not confronting it. Because sometimes when you confront the problem, for example, the Rambam says that repentant, the best repentant is, the best tshuva is, if you are in the same situation as you sin, and you don't sin. We all know, if we know each other, this is almost impossible. If we were tempted once, and unfortunately we can be tempted twice also. So to put us in the same position would be stupid. No, sorry, I'm not. Rambam is not stupid. Rambam is very clever. But the Rambam at his level, okay. But what our Chachamim suggest us to do is, betachbulot ta'ase lecha milchama. With tricks, you do the war with Yetzer Hara. With a bad inclination, you don't go and confront him. You have to be very clever. In other words, what God is telling us, you don't go to Eretz Plishtim, where you will see again idol worshippers and people that do things you're not allowed to do, and you are will be tempted because you were living for this for more than 200 years. So, it takes them on a different way so they don't be in front of this problem. This week, they asked me to say, there's a koilel here that in the other side of town, of very, very interesting. Like people like in pension, that they come, English speakers, that they come, I think, from Petah Tikva, even from Netanya and Ranana, and they have this koilel every, I don't know if it's every morning, but almost every morning. So they asked me to give a shiur there. And in the end of the parsha, we have Amalek. Amalek, what is Amalek? What is Amalek? What do you think is Amalek? Amalek is the guy that says there is no God. Everything is an accident. Mikre. Everything is a mikre. There is no God. That's what it sounds like. When we see in Shirat Hayam in our parsha, and by the way, our parsha is all about Emunah. We have Parashat Aman, the manna that we got from heaven. We have the Shirat Hayam, when the Egyptians are drowning in the sea, and then we sing Shirat Hayam. And by the way, those who want to know, today is a skula to say twice Parashat Aman written, and once the Targum, is Gula la Parnasa, that's for Parnosa. You know, somebody told me once, if you want people to do something, tell them Gula la Parnosa, everybody's doing it. Yeah, Parnosa, they do it. Okay, so what is Parashat Aman? It's also, again, the trusting God that God provides every day what we need. What is Shirat Hayam? Seeing God like saving us and drowning the Egyptians, seeing all those miracles. But it's much more than this. And in between, we see all the time that Am Israel want to go back to Egypt. By the way, we have to understand this idea. The idea is very simple. You know, it happened also in our days with the reform movement. Because you see, what was happening in Egypt for the last year? They were getting plagues. They were realizing, everybody, that God is the Almighty. There's nothing like God. So everybody now fears God. Now, the Jews are not slaves anymore. So they tell to themselves, 1 minute, why shouldn't we go back? We go back, we be like princes. Everybody's afraid of us, of God. And they got all those plagues. And the problem now of Moshe Rabbeinu leading us out of Egypt is not there anymore. So let's take out of the Sidurim everything that mentions Yerushalayim, Zion, Israel, and we'll be good goyim. We'll live with the goyim and we'll be princes there. That's, unfortunately, as we know, didn't work exactly right. But this is the idea. This is the idea. This is not a book of stories. That's real life, what's happening all the time. That's what happened with the reform movements at the beginning. What they did, they said, we are part of the society. We want to be a part like everybody else. But they hate us because we have this Siddur that is written there that we are, this is not our country. Our country is Eretz Israel. And we want to go to Zion and we're going to go to Jerusalem. So let's take this out of the Siddur. Did you see once a Siddur, reform Siddur? You will be amazed. And I'm not talking about now what they've got. Now I think they put back everything. Because now suddenly they are so connected to Eretz Israel. Unbelievable. Just 40 years ago they didn't want to know about Eretz Israel. Now they're so connected that nobody can believe how connected they are. And they fight on their right. But if you take the old Sidurim and you open them, you will find out it's not only that what is to do with women is out. Like everything is for men and women together. You will find out also that everything that is connected to Zion, to Yerushalayim, is not in the Siddur. They took it out of the Siddur. And this is exactly what, unfortunately, at that time when they're going out of Egypt, they thought. Look, we are now princes. We are not slaves anymore. And they are afraid of us. So, it's very... We are going to be on top of everybody there. This is the idea behind Am Yisrael wanting to go back to Egypt. But this is the problem of belief. Emunah. And that's the basic. We have Parashat Aman, as we said. We have Shirat Hayam. We have all those things, but the parasha is starting Vayi b'shalach paro. And how is the parasha ending? Amalek. They are both the same kind. And I want to tell you an interesting story. I met Amalek last week. Yes. Oh. Sorry, last week or this week?
I hope not.
Last week. Last week I met Amalek. Who is Amalek? I was invited to give an offer in somebody in Nasrat. An office has got a school or something, and this is an Arab Israeli, and we went there. And we come to this, really, it's got nice facilities, put 5 million shekel already into it. And this guy doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the doctors. He himself has got 3 degrees, doctor degrees, for philosophy, so you understand where we're going on. English and biochemics. He's got 3 patents sold as a startup to people abroad. He's got a house in London. He lives here in a kibbutz, Kadarim, which is an Israeli kibbutz. And he is teaching children from all age till university and even maybe after, all the kinds of things. And he was so in an ego trip that the whole conversation was about him. How clever he is, how intelligent he is, and now he's learning, he wants to do another doctorate in something. And then he says, he is married 11 years. We met also his wife, he's also a doctor. Only 1 degree of doctor. He's got 3. I showed him that I paint. So I immediately took his phone, and he showed me that he's painting also. He says, I'm not only painting, I'm also playing the piano. He says, okay, what don't you do? I didn't want to talk for a second. From one point of view, I wanted to give him what he said, but from another point, I want the deal, I want the business. So anyway, this guy is talking and talking and talking. Then he tells us he's married 11 years, no kids. He doesn't want kids. He says, why don't you want kids? I'm not going to bring a kid to this world. And if I had an option not to come to this world, I also would choose it. And when it was getting quite late, he says, I'm going to invite you to eat. And he sees the kippah, and he knows exactly that we eat only kosher. And we're in Nazareth. There is no kosher place there. There's nothing kosher. I want you to eat with me. I said, sorry, we cannot eat with me. That's nonsense about kosher. I know. This all stupid things. And philosophically, it's trying. And then he tells us about, you know, we've got this disease now, the corona. This virus. He says, this is the medicine companies doing it.
Oh.
They invented this virus and they spread it among people, and they've got already the antidotes in order. They're waiting for the right moment to do billions on this, and that's the way, the same way it was years ago with Chapat HaChazirim, with the pig thing and with the horse and whatever, and all those plagues are all a conspiracy of the medical. Of the medical pharmaceutical firms. No, I'm hearing this and saying, but till now, I didn't met a real atheist, somebody who doesn't believe in God at all, and has got all those, and you were talking about the Sefer Kuzari, about this philosopher that is giving an answer to the king of Kuzar, and the way the philosopher thinks, okay, it's something in the background, but I met him. This is a real Amalek. And he was going on and on and on and on. And we said, we have to go. I have to go back. And then you realize that, and you know deep in your heart, that this is an escape. This is an escape because, you know, this guy also, he lives in a society which has either Muslims or Christians. Now, he has to show off. He has to be different. You have to look at the offices he was making. Anyway, there is an Amalek, and he's everywhere. And it's inside of us. And you know, when you hear those people, and they know how to talk. He was a very clever guy. He's not stupid. What?
Is he Jew?
No, no, Arab. An Arab.
Okay.
In Nasrat, normally no Jews lives there.
No, because he lives in a kibbutz.
Yeah, that's also very strange. That shows you that this guy doesn't exactly know where he is. In the kibbutz today, you have this option to rent places. Maybe even sometimes to buy. I don't know how it works. Okay. He's not a member of the kibbutz. He lives there. He's not a member of the kibbutz. But you know, it must be a lefty kibbutz, whatever, and they're more than happy to have an Arab there to show off how intelligent they are and how advanced they are, and especially something like somebody like this with three doctor degrees and so intelligent and everything. Okay. When we went back, you know, after this experience, you know, and I was holding myself not to answer this guy, because there is no reason to answer him, because he's not going to listen to you. He's listening only to himself. This is Pharaoh. This is also Pharaoh. Pharaoh listens only to himself. And Amalek, and not by accident, the Parsha starts with Pharaoh and ends with Amalek. It's all those fights we have between us, society, between us and ourselves inside, and we have to take Egypt out of ourselves. That's Yetziat Mitzrayim. And we have to fight this Amalek, because this Amalek, I met somebody like, let's say, really, that was showing me the other side of the coin. But you know, there's also the way in between. There is the middle also. That we sometimes think that we do things. We sometimes don't realize that everything is from God. God is doing everything. We're doing nothing. But the beautiful thing was that God wanted to calm me down. So on the way back, it was quite late. So we're going. I'm looking for a place for Mincha. Now we're in the middle of nowhere, Nasrat, and we're going on. Then, near Afula, I see a sign, Mincha and Mariv. The time was not exactly what it really happened. Then we find Kfar Gid'on, I think. It's right near Afula. And it's, from what I understood, a very religious place. The time that they say was Mincha was not the right time. And instead of being there, let's say, we thought for 20 minutes, then go on, or maybe they have Mincha and Mariv together. That's what not happened. What happened is that we've been there, I think, more than an hour and a half. But I'm very glad about it. Because after they finished Mincha, which didn't start at time also, they had a shiur. And this shiur was very interesting. Why? They were talking about kilayim. Do you know what kilayim is?
Yeah.
When you mix two things, two different seeds together on the earth, and they grow together, you're not allowed to keep them. You have to destroy one of them or destroy them. Now, those halachos, when you learn them, they don't talk to you. We are not farmers. We don't know what it's all about. So we learn those halachos. And that's not the only halachos that we don't participate. A lot of things that are connected to the land, we don't do them. We don't practice them. Pe'ah, shichecha, a lot of things. And I'm sitting there. And suddenly I realize, those are farmers. And they're learning those things, halacha lemaaseh. They are practicing this law. So the discussion was very interesting, and it was not a discussion of something in the air. It was a discussion of things that they do every day. They were farmers. And this was such a joy to see real, ultra-Orthodox people, very religious, with beards, with everything, sitting and learning and practicing what they learn. You know, you can go to a lot of places and see a shiur and hear pilpulim and questions and answers, but it doesn't touch you. When I go to Bnei Brak and you see in yeshiva all those, it's a beautiful thing, I'm not saying, but they're not practicing it. So when you come to a place where you see the Torah ve'avodah, when you see the combination of learning the Torah and practicing it, that's the fight against Amalek. This is the real fight. So God showed me in one day the two sides of the coin. And it was unbelievable. Because to understand and realize that this is what's happening all around us. We have to connect ourselves. In order to really believe in God, we have to learn more and more to understand who God is. This is Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's the whole idea of the Seder night. To sit and talk about Yetziat, because you see all those miracles that are unbelievable. They're really unbelievable miracles. We see all those beautiful things. So, Am Yisrael I'm getting out of Egypt, and unfortunately, v'chamushim yatzu, as we said last week, only 20% getting out of Egypt. And also those 20%, unfortunately, are not all of them exactly tzaddikim. And we want to understand, with all what we say, all the majority and all the people that were dragged into it, how does it work? So my brother, in a book that he wrote about the good, the bad, and the ugly in the internet, he brings a beautiful experiment that was done with checking how people are really sometimes not doing what they think is right, but doing what others are doing. Mm. So they took 7 people, and one of them was the only guy that was being experimented. All the others were a part of the experiment. He didn't know about it. Mm. And they go to a room, I think I told you about it, and they've got this board, and on this board they have lines. Short lines, long lines, and the question they're being asked, what is the shortest line? Of course, they ask first all the others, and all the others showing a line that is quite clearly not the shortest line. When they come to the guy that on him they were doing the experiment, they ask him, what is the shortest line? What is he saying? The same what the other said. Unbelievable. Now, to make things right, the same experiment they did with 7 people that know nothing about nothing, and of course all of them showed what is the real short line. To teach us, this is a real experiment, and it happens in life all the time. When we, even if we are convinced in certain things, but everybody around us tells us it's wrong, what happens to us?
We change.
And this is also one of the lessons. They say, "Achrei rabim la'atot." You go after the many. But it's not always true, because sometimes all the many are wrong.
Sure.
It's like, this was one of the, I don't remember who it was, this rabbi, he was very clever as a kid also. And this guy wanted to, a goy, a Christian goy, he wanted to find his way around this guy. And he was telling something very, very clever. He says, we are the majority, the Christians. And you are the minority. And your halacha also says, achrei rabim la'atot. Few and many, you go after the many. So why don't you go in our belief? Your belief is on the side, because you are the few. We are the many. So he told him, once this guy invited the kid to his palace, and he gave him a certain time, and this was a big palace, and he told him, I want you to find where I am, to get to me, what's with how clever you are. So it took him a few minutes, and the guy comes to exactly the room where this guy was going from all those 100 rooms that were in this palace. So I said, how did you know that I'm here? You've got so many rooms here. He says, I saw that in one of the rooms there is a light and the window is slightly open. So I realized, if all the windows are dark and this one is light, you're here. He says, wow, you're very clever. He says, you see, if you know what the truth is, you can tell me whatever you want. You can tell me everybody believes in this, but I know that it's not the truth. In other words, we have to bring the level of belief to a level that nothing can go against it. That's the parasha. To look at the greatness of God, how He saved us of Egypt. How we were walking on solid earth and the Egyptians were drowning in the sea. To see how God provides Am Yisrael in the desert every day, the man. This is the same way happening now. And we have to look at it, understand and realize. It's like when you know what a wet watermelon is.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's imagine that you don't know what it is. And you will have people around here, and everybody is going to tell you, the watermelon is salty. You can believe or not believe, but normally, if everybody is telling it's salty, you say, okay, it's salty, because you didn't taste it. But after you taste it, if they all going to say it's salty, are you going to believe them? No. Why? Because you taste it. It's like this rabbi once was sitting and learning with his Hasidim, and then he's asking them, do you believe in God? And they all say, what a strange question from the rabbi. Of course we believe in God. He says, I don't believe in God.
Because he knows that God exists.
But what do you mean you don't believe in God? They were saying that the rabbi is a little mishiga. Don't believe in God. He says, no. He says, do you believe this is a table? He says, what do you mean? We see it, it's a table.
I can see it.
We see it's a table. He says, I don't believe in God. I know that there is a God. It is a belief because we don't see it. But we have to bring this, like, when we say God saved us out of Egypt, so we believe also that he's going to bring again the redemption. We have to believe in God according to what he did in the past. It doesn't mean it is the truth. It's the absolute truth. But we don't see it. And because we don't see it, we have the Amalek and the Pharaoh trying to destroy our belief. And this is why we have to remember every day Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's why we say Shirat Hayam every day. And look what's happening in Shirat Hayam. Everybody's frightened. Az nivalu alofe Edom, elei Moav yochaze Moav, namogu kol yoshevei Kanaan. Everybody is frightened from the miracles that God did. And right afterwards, what's happening? Vayavo Amalek. Amalek comes. To show us, even if all the people believe in God and see God, there's always this guy who will come and say, I don't believe. Well, we don't care why he's doing what he's doing. What we care is not to be influenced by him. Because at the end of the day, the influence is there. And it's terrible. We have to understand and realize that whatever we do, we have to read this parsha. This parsha is, I think, a basic of, from one side, Am Yisrael with all the miracles, we're going to go back to Egypt. What's going on here? And this is why we're having the same parsha. Parsha Taman and Shirat Hayam. You know those miracles on the sea, they were unbelievable. One of the interesting things when talking about the sea,
I think this is why most other religions strive, because they can see their God.
They can, what do they see? They really don't see something that you can really say, what is it, a piece of wood? It's idol worship. But this is exactly what we're fighting against. Because if you start believing in stone and things, then you're in a problem. We believe in God, only God. And the God is something abstract that we cannot even understand and see. And you see, when he's talking about Teva, Teva is nature. And it's not by mistake that the Egyptian, Tov'im Bayam. What is Tov'im Bayam? In Hebrew, they are drowning in nature. Tov'im Teva. And what's happening to us? We're going on the solid ground in the middle of the ocean. It should have been written in the ocean or the sea is a wall from right and left. But it's not written the ocean and not the sea, but the water. Why is the Torah changing from sea, ocean to water? Because what is water? Water is Torah. Water is the basic, the essence of life. So in other words, if you want to walk in the middle of this chaos, in the middle of these unbelievable things that happen in the nature and try to convince us that nature is in control. And it's not easy. We think Ahmadinejad and Trump and Bibi Netanyahu, they decide what to do in this world. Sometimes we think like this. That's the sea. We're drowning in the sea. Tov'im bateva. Because if we give them power, we are really doing the wrong thing. But when you are surrounded with the Torah and you realize who God is, Amayim Laim Choma Miminam Mislam, there is only one protection from all what is going around us, not to drown in this ocean. And the protection is the water of the Torah. That's the protection, nothing else. Because if you don't believe, you have a problem. You know, you want to fly. Can you fly? If you want, you can. You can go up to the 30th floor of a building and fly. But what's going to happen? You're going to crush in a few seconds. In other words, you have to understand that going after the nonsense of this world is leading to destruction. But it's around us, and it's a big fight. That's an amazing thing. The parsha starts, Vayi b'shalach paro. Paro did something, he did nothing. But Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes gives us this idea that we do something. We think we do something. And then at the end of the parsha, with all that's going on in it, all the miracles and everything, we see Amalek. So you see, there's always this guy who says there is nothing. By the way, it can well be that this Amalek is fighting and saying, I don't believe, like this Amalek that I met, that lets him go on living the way he wants to live. He is an egoist, an egomaniac, sorry to say. Why? Because if he doesn't want kids, that's only if you take all the picture, you understand also why he doesn't want kids. Not because he doesn't want them in this world. It's he, because he thinks only about himself and nothing else. Doesn't care about nobody else. This is Amalek. That's the real Amalek. And that's the real Pharaoh. You know, we talked about it. When all the plays were going on, the only time when Pharaoh asked Moshe Rabbeinu to take the plagues off, it's when it was touching him. When it wasn't touching him, he went on with life, even though his people were suffering. So in other words, at the end of the day, who is this Amalek? Who is this Pharaoh? This is our ego trip. And this is why what we have to understand and realize. Don't let our ego control us. Yitziat Mitzrayim is taking Egyptians out of us. Think about others. Think about the people. This is the real emunah. The real emunah is to help each other. The real emunah is to understand I'm not alone. I am with Am Yisrael. We are one nation. We are one people. And we have to help each other and help the world. And Bezrat Hashem, we will come to the Geulah b'Mehra b'Yameinu. Amen.